Welcome to Press This, the WordPress community podcast featuring exclusive content and interviews with leaders in the WordPress community, covering everything from development to integrating your digital marketing strategy with WordPress. Join host David Vogelpohl of WP Engine and special guests from across the community as they keep you up to speed on the latest advancements in WordPress. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Press This WordPress Community Podcast on Webmaster Radio. This is your host, David Vogelpohl, and I support the WordPress community through my role at WP Engine, and I love to bring the best of the community to you here every week on Press This. As always, you can subscribe on iTunes, iHeartRadio, or download the latest episodes of Press This at webmasterradio.fm. In this episode, we're going to be covering the future of WordPress page building, and we have a very special guest joining us to help discuss that, someone I think that's very appropriately placed to have that discussion with, and that's Beaver Builder founder Robbie McCullough. Robbie, welcome to the show.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So glad to have you here. And, you know, I know, Robbie, you and I have gotten to know each other over the years. I know you have a team member based here in Austin. You always come into town and have these Beaver Builder meetups at different bars or food trucks. Always a good time.
Yeah, we came and threw a little party in your hometown, and I really appreciate you coming out to that. That was really fun. And then Brent, he actually just moved up to the Dallas-Fort Worth area to be a little closer to family, but he was based out of Austin up until just recently.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. It's a shame he had to leave Austin. But,
yeah, kind of bittersweet. We're looking forward to going to visit in Dallas, but I really enjoyed Austin. It's a great city. I liked having an excuse to go there.
Well, you'll have to come visit me sometime then, Robbie. That'll be your excuse to come back down to Austin. So.
Perfect.
Sweet. Well, for everybody listening, this episode I think is special because, you know, the WordPress community is just, I mean, you've heard it on this show over and over and over again and read it in articles on sites and so on and so forth. But really, the WordPress community is obsessed with the new Gutenberg page building experience, the update kind of coming to WordPress, we believe, in early 2019. And you know, there's an existing suite of page builders out there, you know, Divi in a sense, and also, of course, the infamous Beaver Builder. And so you start to ask yourself, like, well, what is the role of page builders in a Gutenberg world? Will they complement each other? How might they compete? What are the differences? And so really wanted to spend this episode today talking about that with you, Robbie, just to get a better feel for how you're thinking about this. And I think at least from my perspective, as the leading page builder in WordPress, and I don't know how that stacks out in terms of like number of sites and things like that, but at least in terms of functionality, I definitely think Beaver Builder is in the lead on that. And so getting your perspective here today, it would be interesting for me, and I'm really excited that you you wanted to come on and talk about this stuff. So thanks, Robbie.
Oh, that's my pleasure. No, thanks for all the kind words. It's been a really interesting year, you know, for us and just the community in general, with Gutenberg and, you know, the community's kind of how it's been reacting to the news and the development cycle of it. So, yeah, lots to talk about.
Yeah. Those reactions are across the board. I know people are excited and then certainly very fearful. And some of that fear maybe is misplaced, but I definitely understand the resistance to change.
Sure.
So before we kick things off, though, I kind of want to, you know, get a better understanding of a little bit of your background. I'm sure you probably told me this story in the past, but I don't remember the answer, and certainly no one listening perhaps does. But what is your WordPress origin story? How did you first get started building things or sites in WordPress?
Okay, so let's see. Long time ago, I started out using PHP BB, which was a bulletin board open source PHP software, kind of very similar to WordPress in that it was a big open source PHP project. And I started building, like, one of the first kind of projects in web was building forums for things I had kind of had passion. Like, I had a surfing forum and one for a video game, and I'd put these, you know, spin these forum sites up. And then I continued making websites. I eventually got into WordPress. I think I was doing a guitar site at the time. I'd scraped a bunch of guitar tabs, and I had this guitar tablature website that was like one of my first kind of, like, it was starting to get a lot of traction in terms of page views and visits and things like that at the time. And I needed a blog to kind of share the news about the site, and I got WordPress running and started digging into WordPress, and it was very familiar coming from PHP BB. And then from there, just started using it in more and more projects, and eventually started using it for doing web design for client work. I had an agency and did freelance web design, and WordPress kind of became my tool of choice eventually.
All right, interesting backstory there. I, of course, never knew that, I guess.
It was a long time ago. It was probably 12 or 13 years ago that I was doing forums. And WordPress didn't come along until later, naturally, but I got into it really early. I had WordPress running, but then I didn't actually dig into it and start developing with it, developing themes and using it on multiple projects, until a few years down the line, probably maybe more like 6 years ago is when I started really using it daily.
Really interesting, Robbie. So then you do WordPress for a while, you, start building some sites with it. You have the guitar site. When did you found Beaver Builder, and tell me a little bit about the team today?
Yeah. So I just had my 6-year Facebook friend anniversary with my business partner, Billy, and his twins just turned 6. So I'll try and make this a short story. I got hired on to Fastline Media, which is our parent company, when Billy had children. He's my business partner now. At the time, he was my boss, and there's 3 co-founders of Beaver Builder. So it gets a little complicated. They had a web agency that I joined in on, and then we started Beaver Builder as a side project. But then eventually Beaver Builder kind of took over the agency side of the business, and so we just merged them all together. So there's 3 co-founders. We started working together about 6 years ago, and then about 4.5 years ago, roughly, is when we started working on and doing Beaver Builder. We kind of transitioned. We started working on it as an internal tool for us to use in our agency projects, and as it was developing, we decided to try and productize it. It was kind of that classic, you know, scratch your own itch story of how the product came to be.
That's such a good story, you know, and a lot of agencies, of course, aspire to that same thing, trying to, you know, replicate the success of people like SEO Moz or Moz, kind of growing out of Rand's agency, and then, you know, I guess obviously also you kind of sharing that same path, but that's good to hear that you achieved that, and achieved it in a way that built really a very, I think, high quality product. So I want to kind of dial it back now that everybody has a decent understanding of your background, a little bit about your team and how you came to be, and talk now more focused on the product and kind of this kind of looming update with Gutenberg.
Sure.
And so, I'm kind of curious, like when the announcement that Gutenberg was going to be a thing and there was going to be this block-based page building system, what were your thoughts when that was announced? Was that concerning to you? Did you feel like you just rolled with the punches? Like, what was that first emotional response?
It was definitely like a shocking and I guess alarming feeling at first when we first heard. So like the classic story. So we're a WordPress plugin. We're building on top of a platform. And, you know, we knew going into that when you build on someone else's platform and someone else's garden, you know, iPhone and iOS apps kind of being the obvious example there. But you're kind of at the whim of that platform. So, you know, there's both benefits and downsides to plugging into something bigger. But yeah, my initial thought was like, oh my gosh, we're going to be like, you know, those guys that made whatever it was, the app that would like Night Shift, right? Like Night Shift is now core iOS. And you know, there's been all these stories of apps that have done really well on the iOS or Android platform that eventually become core features. You know, their success kind of dooms them in that sense. So there was definitely like some genuine concern that the core, you know, WordPress project was going to start trying to go into the territory that we were in page building. But this whole year has been such a roller coaster of emotions there, right? So that was our initial thought. But then as the project started developing and moving forward, and also as the kind of hurdles or the road bumps that the project has been hitting at each kind of step in the way, I think that's become a lot less of a concern. I do think that there's a lot of opportunity for us to be complementary with Gutenberg, and I also think that the core team is struggling a lot by working at scale and having to accommodate all of the issues that come from scale. You know, they're not as agile and they're not able to move as quickly as someone like we are. So there's still a lot of opportunities for us to kind of evolve alongside Gutenberg. That's the hope, of course.
Well, and I just, you know, my hope here in today in this podcast is to unpack some of that with you. So maybe what we could do then is let's start at where things sit today. WP Engine uses Beaver Builder in some of its stack, and it really transformed our landing page building, our campaign building processes. And, you know, I think a lot of that same promise kind of sits within Gutenberg, you know, just this componentized or block-based approach to building and integrating in pre-designed, pre-configured things, or even giving you the ability to kind of do it your own way. So what do you think the core differences are between where Gutenberg will likely be when it's released in early 2019 and what Beaver Builder offers today? Like, what are the big differences?
Gutenberg today is still focused on the editing experience. And Beaver Builder has always been an alternate, like Gutenberg is an alternate editor at this point to the default WordPress editor. And Beaver Builder, in a sense, was also an alternate editing experience. You know, we use the Tiny MCE text editor in many of our Beaver Builder modules. When you drag a, you know, like a heading or a text block onto a page, that you know, default Tiny MCE editor pops up. So we've always, you know, embraced and used that element of the site. Like, one of the first thoughts we had was, wow, wouldn't it be cool if we could, like, take the Gutenberg editor into Beaver Builder and, you know, replace where we're using Tiny MCE with Gutenberg. One of the really cool ideas there was the inline editing capability. We didn't have inline editing in Beaver Builder. And Gutenberg, you know, from day one had the inline editing where you could just type in, like, instead of having to, you know, you click on a heading and a modal window will pop up to edit it. Like, you just click on the editing, or excuse me, click on the heading, and you jump right in and edit it from there.
That is a nice part of the way Gutenberg does the editing experience. And it's interesting to hear you talk about these kind of notions of an alternative editing experience. I want to dig a little deeper into this, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more Press This in just a moment.
The Web Marketing Association is now accepting entries for its 7th annual International Mobile Web Award Competition. This award program is an opportunity for mobile developers to demonstrate their expertise in this growing medium. It recognizes the individual and team achievements of web professionals all over the world who create and maintain outstanding responsive and mobile websites and mobile applications. Deadline for entry is September 28, 2018. Submit your entry today at www.mobile-webaward.org. That's mobile-webaward.org.
There are over 70 million active podcast listeners in the U.S.
Webmasterradio.fm reaches them all
with the largest global distribution of any online business-to-business podcast network. Through iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and the webmasterradio.fm mobile app, we can target and place your message in front of those active listeners immediately. Now, your message can be delivered with less commitment and investment on over 20 hours of weekly original content
hosted by the most respected names in digital marketing,
thanks to an exclusive private offer available for a very limited number of companies. But you must act fast. Email brasco@wmr.fm and get your message delivered now.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs sends you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let TopSEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Let's press forward with more Press This, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Well, everybody, welcome back to Press This, the WordPress community podcast on Webmaster Radio. I'm interviewing Robbie McCullough, the founder of Beaver Builder, And Robbie, right before the break, you were talking about some of the key differences between Gutenberg and Beaver Builder. And one of the things you mentioned was that one of the things that really attracted you to that interface was inline editing. And we took a break for the commercials there. And so just wanted to kind of pick this back up and help you finish this thought about the editing experience with Gutenberg compared to Beaver Builder.
Yeah. So inline editing, Gutenberg kind of sold us on the nicety of that feature or the effectiveness of it. One interesting thing that happened was in the course of development of Gutenberg, the version of Tiny MCE. Sorry, this is getting really technical here. But I'll try. The version of Tiny MCE that WordPress used needed to be updated, right? So in one of the WordPress core updates, they updated Tiny MCE, and in that update, Tiny MCE had added a bunch of functionality for inline editing, and we were able to actually access that because of the update. So Gutenberg had kind of pushed the WordPress project forward and forced them to update the software, which then we were able to leverage. So long story long is Beaver Builder has inline editing now, largely in part because of Gutenberg kind of pushing the envelope forward on the, you know, like lowest required version of Tiny MCE that could be used. And there's a lot of examples where the core team is solving or working to solve challenges that we have too. You know, we're in such similar spaces. We've been able to kind of glean some ideas and things that they're doing that we would like to implement on our end. And reversely, I know the core team has studied and worked with Beaver Builder a lot and all of the other major page builders in their effort to kind of build the best editing experience. So it works both ways.
So what do you think then, like, what are some of the key features within Beaver Builder that you think set it apart from the Gutenberg experience today? Like, again, when I asked our web team, like, would we replace Beaver Builder with Gutenberg on day one, is that something we should consider? The answer was a resounding no, and they had a long list of reasons why our use of that made that a bad choice. And, you know, obviously Gutenberg will kind of add some things over time, but like, what do you see the key differences are between advantages are that Beaver Builder has over Gutenberg?
You know, currently with Gutenberg and where it starts getting tricky is when you're working in Gutenberg, you're still in the WordPress admin area. And when you hit publish, the whatever you've created is going to be displayed outside of the ad. It's going to be displayed, you know, to the end user. And in WordPress, that gets really complicated because a whole different set of styles and themes, or not themes, excuse me, but like CSS styles and JavaScript libraries get loaded up in both different places. So one of the big challenges for us when we were developing Beaver Builder was how do we bring this admin functionality, or, you know, how do we create this editing experience on the front end and manage all of the, you know, there's how many tens of thousands of themes and plugins available for WordPress, and all of those are loading in different CSS sheets that are tweaking different things. Like, we're trying to build a user interface on top of all these different influences, and that was really tricky. And the Gutenberg project is dealing with that challenge now too. One of the questions that came up in the State of the Word, Matt Mullenweg's speech to the WordPress community last year was he was referring to Gutenberg as a front end editor, but it was still happening in the back end. And for, you know, for your page that you're editing in Gutenberg to look like it will when you hit publish, there needs to be the theme you're using needs to be supportive of Gutenberg and needs to be styling the Gutenberg editor. So I guess Gutenberg hasn't really reached the point where you can create a full web page and style it from top to bottom. Like, it's still just focusing on the editing experience of writing text or rich multimedia content. So they're gonna get to that point eventually. Like, they're gonna start heading towards the page building direction. But so far, you know, you just can't do what you can do in Beaver Builder and Gutenberg.
Okay, those are some good insights. You know, coming up with, for those of you unaware, editor styles, in other words, styles for the back end of WordPress. So that way, as you're using Beaver Builder, frankly, any type of custom post type like that, is making sure those styles reflect essentially what the person is seeing on the front end. So that way, it actually is a WYSIWYG and not an editor that kind of aligns with how the front end looks. That is an additional kind of body of work that you need to address when you're creating themes for Gutenberg-enabled sites. And so it sounds like one of the things you're pointing out is that, you know, Beaver Builder has kind of already solved this challenge, and it doesn't require those additional editor styles. So that way, the user's seeing actually what they see on the back end or on the front end in the back end.
Yep. Yeah, that's correct. So, like, for example, you know, you could have someone that's a designer by trade could design your website and build it in Beaver Builder and hand it over to you. The end user, say, who just wants to be able to update, you know, the images or the headings, you know, write blog posts, etc. Gutenberg still doesn't have the design piece yet. Like, you can't get in there and create a pixel. Well, Pixel Perfect's kind of dead idea anyways, but yeah, it's still just the text editor. So it'll be interesting to see, because that is the end goal, I think, of the Gutenberg project, is to make it more of a full page editor. What that transition looks like, I think, you know, there's already been so much friction that the core team is kind of running into doing the first phase of it.
Well, that friction is interesting, because it's like you pointed out earlier, for example, with Beaver Builder, you guys have spent years unwinding all the interactions with stuff. I'm guessing things like plugins in the ecosystem, different use cases, and the Gutenberg editor is brand new, so it hasn't had that that amount of time in order to do that. Now, of course, we all know, of course, backward compatibility is a huge focus of the core team. And so from what I've seen with my Gutenberg testing, it's largely been good in terms of preserving that backwards compatibility. But I guess your observation there is that you've got a bunch of years under your belt, plus all these awesome features on top of it. And so that's a huge difference between the experience you get building with Gutenberg versus Beaver Builder.
Yeah. I think, too. I mean, just to add on to that, the Gutenberg project, I think, is coming along splendidly. I think it's really impressive. And I do think that there's a lot of opportunity. You know, my hope, the kind of perfect case scenario for me personally, or what I'd like to see the, you know, WordPress project be or go towards, is that the Gutenberg editor is going to be really successful, and that people are going to like it. And, they're, you know, once it becomes, you know, once it gets into core and people start using it, that it's going to propel the WordPress project forward. And that there will be a complementary, you know, space for us all to exist. I think, you know, the core team, we kind of do things backwards. Like, we're a small kind of agile software company. We got to focus on building this product and release it, and then worry about, you know, all of the compatibility issues and add-ons and this and that, and kind of take them one by one and continue to both fix issues and develop and make the product better. Whereas Gutenberg, they built this great product, but what it seems like most of their focus is going towards is the compatibility and the issues and all of the kind of, you know, it would be bureaucracy if it was in government, right? But just kind of all of the stuff that's not as fun and that's a lot more time consuming.
Yeah, no, that definitely resonates for sure. So then, thinking about the role of Beaver Builder kind of in parallel to Gutenberg, how do you imagine the two working side by side? Or do you think that, is it, you know, you kind of talked earlier about this notion of like the choice of editor, right? Custom post types and custom meta fields likely not going anywhere anytime soon. So you have to assume that that type of editing experience will continue to live. And you can, of course, also imagine custom post types and Gutenberg kind of playing side by side. But like, how do you envision Gutenberg and Beaver Builder playing side by side?
Yeah. It's, you know, that again, that's, it's been kind of a roller coaster, and the ideas of what that could look like has shifted a lot. And originally we had this idea of if Gutenberg blocks, if we could bring Gutenberg blocks into Beaver Builder or vice versa, like bring modules from Beaver Builder into Gutenberg, like wouldn't that be cool if they were kind of seamless and interchangeable? But as the project's been developed, like from the technical, that was my idea, kind of from the marketing wing. I was like, yeah, what do you guys think about this? And the development team was like, no, like that never going to happen. Like, because of how Gutenberg is being developed, the idea of like taking a Gutenberg block outside of Gutenberg isn't really there yet. But to answer your question a little more directly, one of the things we did as a company, kind of in anticipation of Gutenberg, was we started thinking a little bit more about professional users. And one of the things we kind of, I guess, realized as we've been going for about 4.5 years now, and have kind of gotten a little more smarter, a little more mature, and knowing who our customers are and what they're doing. But A lot of our customers are building websites for other people. They're, you know, freelancers or agencies. They're not so much maybe the do-it-yourselfers or the folks that would be setting up a Squarespace website.
But they're setting it up for other people to use. And this is such an interesting concept, because I remember one time somebody was like, are page builders for DIYers? And I'm like, no, they're not only for DIYers. Of course, like agencies and internal dev teams want to create experiences that novice people can use. And I want to hear more about this. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more Press This in just a moment.
Are now tuned in to the world's largest online radio podcast network for internet marketers looking to dominate the B2B marketplace.
Webmasterradio.fm.
Webmasterradio.fm is home to some of the most respected authorities in all aspects of internet marketing.
Maria Retan,
Larry Weber,
Tim Ash,
James and Arlene Martell,
Ross Dunn,
John Carcutt,
Shahab Zaghari,
Peggy Ann Salt,
Bennett Kelly,
Jillian Musick,
and Kennedy.
From SEO to affiliate marketing to social media, e-commerce, mobile marketing, and so much more. Our hosts travel to all stretches of the world and speak to the impact players that are affecting our industry.
Please join me in welcoming Andrew Hagford.
Pleased to have Jim Lanzone.
Please welcome Ariana Huffington.
Please welcome Jason Calcanis.
On air, on demand, and available on every mobile device that you can imagine. This is WebmasterRadio.fm.
WebmasterRadio.fm.
We're everywhere.
Ready to do a podcast for your business? Make that podcast elevate to enterprise level. Let WebmasterRadio.fm expedite and execute your podcast to build your brand and broaden your customer base. WebmasterRadio.fm has worked with the world's biggest tech brands, Google, Yahoo, and Bing, and have worked with fast-growing brands like ShipStation and GoDaddy. Now it's your turn. Contact BRASCO at WMR.fm and rush your enterprise-level podcast into production at a very reasonable rate. Email BRASCO at WMR.fm.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com. Let's press forward with more Press This, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Press This WordPress Community Podcast on Webmaster Radio. I'm interviewing Robbie McCullough of Beaver Builder. Robbie, right before the break, you were talking about how you guys at Beaver Builder were focused on customers, or one of the focuses were customers building experiences for others, and we took a minute for the break, so I'd like you to kind of expand more on that.
Yeah. We were talking about, you know, how what a world with Gutenberg and Beaver Builder looks like. And I guess, you know, again, my hope and my perfect world, right, is that the Gutenberg editor is going to make it a lot easier for someone less tech savvy to get in and, you know, kind of similar to a Shopify or a Squarespace or even like a Facebook page, like someone who just wants to publish something on the internet will have a lot easier time doing that with Gutenberg. And then we would like to exist in this, or we hope to exist in this space where when you're ready to take it to the next level, if you're working professionally as a web designer, web developer, that's the space. Those are the problems, I think, where we enjoy working in and enjoy trying to solve. And it's also the area that we have experience coming from an agency background that, you know, we feel like we have the best place to kind of identify and solve problems there.
That's a really interesting way to look at it. You know, if WordPress were perfect, we wouldn't need plugins, right? It's this notion that whatever's there is great, but there are always opportunities to make it better. And to hear you talk about it in that way makes all the sense in the world. You know, what role should Beaver, or what are one of the roles Beaver Builder should play? And you know, kind of addressing it from that angle makes a ton of sense. You know, the way we use Beaver Builder, and I mentioned earlier in our kind of landing page and campaign page workflows, It's really sophisticated. I mean, we have components and modules that the content creators can drop in that are perfectly aligned with our design and brand, that are integrated in with our other WordPresses through the REST API, that leverage third-party platforms that do stuff and essentially allow these content creators to kind of drag and drop dynamic components that do stuff rather than just purely design a page or build out a page. And you know, I think Gutenberg is capturing that, of course, but as you pointed out, I believe, there's always room to make it better. There's always room to deliver more value because what's there in core will not be perfect for every use case. And there's an opportunity for product makers to build on top of it and to make those experiences better. It's really interesting to hear you position it like that. And it makes all the sense in the world. So you've talked already about things like leveraging inline editing within Beaver Builder, kind of embracing the concept from Gutenberg and some of the stuff, I guess, done in TinyMCE. And you kind of alluded to some other things of ways that you might integrate with Gutenberg. For example, you had the idea about including, you know, blocks that are Beaver Builder blocks or the other way around. Are there any other integrations that you guys have considered with Gutenberg and Beaver Builder?
Yeah, well, you know, so the process for us of like becoming Gutenberg compatible, the first step was just kind of seamlessly transitioning from, you know, when you open up a WordPress page, there's an option to either use the default editor or jump into the Beaver Builder editor. And we had to recreate that experience in Gutenberg and make that a nice experience. So that was kind of like the first hurdle to get over. And then after that, it was all the kind of fun conceptual stuff. Like, could we start, you know, bringing Beaver Builder blocks or templates or saved content into Gutenberg, or, you know, blocks from Gutenberg into Beaver Builder? And that, all of that, like, we've done some kind of experimental work there, and we've done a few things, and we've had that, like, you know, that saying, like, where you ask, you got to ask, you know, we can do this, but should we? Like, we had a couple little projects where, like, oh, this is really cool. Like, you can bring a, you know, Beaver Builder module into Gutenberg, but we had to ask ourselves, like, well, why would anyone want that? Like, okay, well, we've got the technology, we know we can do it, but do we want to? So anyway, I guess what I'm getting at is we're still trying to figure that out, really. I think it gets really interesting thinking about themes and what the place of a WordPress theme is in the Gutenberg world, and especially when Gutenberg starts going beyond the editing experience. And then when you like listening to some of like Morten Rand Hendrickson's talk, some of the Gutenberg discussions around the future of the web and what the web looks like when we're experiencing it through virtual reality and all these things, I think it starts getting really fun thinking about like the kind of sci-fi.
There's so many opportunities there in the future, right? We just don't know what those experiences will be like.
Yeah, but that's what it is. We really don't know.
Exactly. But again, it was really interesting just to hear you discuss kind of the problem at hand, how you guys are thinking about it. And then, I don't know, for me, hearing you think about like how can Beaver Builder continue to play a role and provide value to people, and the way that you think about that in terms of the customers you service versus what's available in core, I think is a very forward and powerful way to think about that. So, Robbie, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah. Hey, my pleasure. Gosh, the time went quick, didn't it? I didn't even realize.
I know. It flies by, and we'll be covering more around the role of themes in Gutenberg in future episodes. But again, Robbie, thanks so much for joining the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you, David.
Awesome. If you'd like to learn more about what Robbie's up to, check out Beaver Builder, the page building plugin. And thanks everyone for listening to Press This, the WordPress community podcast on Webmaster Radio. As always, you can subscribe on iTunes, iHeartRadio, or download the latest episodes at webmasterradio.fm. Again, this is your host, David Vogelpohl, and I support the WordPress community through my role at WP Engine. And I love to bring the best of the community to you here every week on Press This.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.